All right, our recording has started, and I've muted all. It sounds like Jessica, you're there with me. Yes.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, welcome, welcome, everyone, to October 2020. If you, it seemed like someone just unmuted themselves. If you're going to be unmuted and be quiet, I think it's okay. But this is a portion where Jessica and I will introduce ourselves and maintain it there. So if you have the ability to mute yourself, that would be ideal at this point. I need to remember to keep letting people in. Okay, but welcome to October 2020, LHON Live. Really appreciate all of you being here. For those of you who haven't been here before, this is a call we began back in around this time, August of 2014. So it's been over 6 years at this point. And we enjoy doing these calls every month. They do take a different form from time to time, but we've been on the current format for a long time now. I would introduce you all to my co-host, Jessica Loomer, if you'd like to say hey.
Hey, everyone.
Sorry, my spiel is in a little different order today as I bear with me as I handle things on this side. But thank you to everyone who is here. Every month, we like to convene this entire group to share basically the topics and the pieces of advice that have come up in our LHON group on Facebook this month. But a couple of things to keep in mind, neither Jessica nor myself are experts in employment for the blind or the latest medical news or legal advice or any of those types of things. We're happy to kind of take some of those topics and see if people have questions around some of those things. But just keep in mind that in some cases, we may point you to other experts to ask some of those questions or to get answers you may need. But first and foremost, the main goal of this is to connect and to be able to share with each other in the way that we all value and benefit from. I met Jessica back in June of 2014 when we were both attending our first LHON conference in Pittsburgh that year. And we quickly realized how valuable it was to connect in person with other people who had LHON. Because although there are people like us all over the world, we rarely have the ability to sit down and connect with those people and realize how common our experiences are and how unique and yet similar they are at the same time. So each of us lives a very unique life compared to our friends and family. And yet at the same time, we share a lot in common, even with those that we've never met. So we wanted to take the benefit that we got from that conference and spread it out throughout the year. So just a couple months later, August of 2014, we started these calls and we've been doing them every month ever since. So with that longer than usual spiel, Jessica, I want to ask you, how is October treating you?
Flying by just like with a blink of an eye. I can't believe it's October already, and fall colors are here in Denver, and all of my friends are so graciously telling me, don't worry, Denver only gets one color, it's yellow, so you're not missing anything crazy. What you are missing is West or East Coast colors. So shout out to the East Coast for all those cool colors around this time of year. But yeah, doing good. I just moved, so it's been an interesting adventure. So
cool. Just
and
moved, you
have
said?
You been any? I just moved, and actually I have this will kind of tie into one of our topics we're going to talk about, so I'll hang tight on that. But how are you?
Interesting. I'm in the middle of moving as well. I am buying a new condo, still in the same neighborhood I live in now, but closing on the 15th, which is next Thursday, I'm reminded. So getting everything taken care of there, hiring movers, getting things ready in that regard, and ready to be through this entire process. And I'm being reminded every day why I used to say I was never going to buy another place. But I was wrong, and I am, and I will one day regret this decision. But in the meantime, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm very happy to be fortunate.
And you are moving pretty close by, right?
I am. I can see, well, I should say, someone else could see my new apartment out my window.
It's also so,
so yes, it's
so
very
funny.
It's
I asked
about a football field away. Yeah.
I'm about the same. So that's kind of funny. We both move so close.
Yeah.
I would walk back and forth when I was dragging crap back and forth to my apartment. And so, yeah, so there's something to be said about that closeness. Yeah,
my move would be very, very easy if it didn't involve going down 3 flights of stairs here and then going back up 4 flights of stairs in my new building. But, and if you've ever been in stairwells like the one I live in, it's a lot of strategy involved in getting things up the stairs, which is why I don't do it on my own.
Yeah, especially couches.
Yes, I watched movers carry a couch down from my apartment yesterday that I sold through a service called App Deco, for those who are ever looking for services. And I never feel as bad as I do when I watch someone move something in or out of my apartment, because it is not a fun thing to do, I know. But yeah, I'm doing very, very well. I'm happy it's October. I'm glad things are cooling off a little bit and feeling like fall around here. We had our first football games since the last call we had, and yeah, seasons are changing and my hair continues to grow, and so I know time is moving forward.
Fantastic.
It's been, yeah, life goes on, and I'm very fortunate.
I'm glad to hear that.
I haven't cut my hair since February, which means it's very, very long, and I have like this strange thing that I can kind of put in a ponytail now, and I probably will not cut it for at least until it's been at least a year. So maybe
that's a new look you're going for, Andy.
I will share a picture on the group at some point. Yes, it's something new, that's for sure. My boss has had several things to say about it, but we'll leave it at that.
Oh my gosh, and you guys are gonna have to all help me remember. Andy committed to something for this call, and now I'm blanking. But now that you committed to a picture you're going to post of yourself, there was something else. So I know
yes,
Lisa McGregor is going to remember. Oh, you remember.
What
okay, perfect.
Yes, I remember what I committed to. I committed to post a picture on this call of the Rice Krispie treats that I committed to making. Do you like
what
I'm saying?
That's nice. I unmuted myself just to make sure I hear this.
I will have to confess here that you all will have to wait a tad longer. Nearly all the ingredients, but not all of them. And so you will have to wait for me to secure the final ingredients. And it likely will be posted before the next call, because I want to do it while I'm still in this apartment. But yes, you still have to look forward to. So for all of those who tuned in only to hear about Rice Krispie Treats, I'm so sorry to disappoint you. I genuinely am sorry to do that to you. But you will have to wait to hear more about that epic adventure in the future. I'm sorry, Lisa, first and foremost, but others as well.
Well, you have an excuse, because you're in the process of a move, so we'll let you go this time.
Well, I appreciate forgiveness, but I'm not going to get greedy and expect it for long. But I appreciate you bearing with me. Maybe I'll do something
Lisa's
else.
Lisa's much nicer, because I was going to tell you, Amy, it only has 4 ingredients. I was like, what's going on with your grocery list?
I have what you need to make Rice Krispie Treats. I don't have what you need to make the Rice Krispie Treats, to be fair.
Okay. Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes.
Cool.
If for anyone who wants to see what my hair looks like, I can show you that as well. That sounds more like a thing that only one or two people would like to see. But I can update you all. Of course. Let's get a few topics, because I know I'm boring people. The first thing I wanted to talk about, just because I know it was mentioned early on this month, and I think it's worth highlighting for people, because I think this can't be said too often, that one thing we know about LHON is that it's probably, choose my words carefully here, but like not good to be around a lot of smoke. And I know a lot of folks on the western part of this country are dealing with that right now, or have been dealing with that, will continue to deal with it. So first and foremost, we're thinking about you. And I hope that this time ends quickly for you all, and that they're able to handle this virus quickly and get things back to normal as quickly as possible. But that was kind of what we wanted to highlight there. And for those who have, there was a post about this in the group, basically echoing the same sentiment and highlighting that, hey, if being out of that smoke or staying inside is something you can do, most LHON doctors would encourage you to do that as much as possible. Anything you wanted to add there, Jessica?
Yeah, a couple things. I'm going to call out to the audience. If Patrick Doolittle, are you on the call? Patrick? No, Patrick. Bummer. So Patrick actually introduced me to a cool website called Purple Sky. I was just questioning if I was correct. And what the website is, it's very cool. It's crowdsourcing. Purple Air. Thank you very much. I knew I was wrong. So what's very cool about that is that, so let's say I live in Greenwood Village, Colorado. So it's a very large city. However, if I go on Purple Air, it's going to give me cross streets or intersections, or maybe something a little bit closer that's closer to where I actually am, to understand the air quality versus just in general the city, you know? So definitely check that out as a resource. And I wanted to share, we were kind of talking, like, obviously, absolutely, hearts are out to all the people, especially Colorado, California, and everywhere else with wildfires. But beyond wildfires, we're often talking about like smoke and like different kinds of smoke. I recently moved into a new apartment, and my day one, day two, day three were fantastic. And day four, I smelled cigarette smoke and literally just freaked out, because there's nothing worse than getting into your brand new home and really wishing to like settle in and just smelling cigarette smoke. And so it's been a whirlwind. We have primed, painted the walls, cleaned the carpets, and caulked everything within my furnace room and put in a HEPA filter. And I sound like a crazy person to everyone else in the world besides LHON people, because you're all like, I know you all are in your heads are like, yep, I would do the exact same thing, because we all know the effects of smoke and what it can do. And so obviously us going into hyper alert on all of that. So I feel much better telling you guys this story than telling anybody else, because everyone else thought it was crazy. I also bought air filters for the inside of my house. So I walk into my house and pop on the air purifiers. So not that I'm an expert, I don't know much about this, but I can tell you all the precautions that I have done in the last week. And I really feel a sense of security and a lot more kind of sense of sanity. So if you guys ever run into that or have run into that and have other tips and tricks, please be sure to share. But that has been my smoke adventure for the last week.
Just to make sure we get that across, in order to find that, do they go to purpleair.com, or is there an app we should download, Jessica, or what's the deal there?
I'm confirming it's Purple Air, and I don't know if it's .com or .org.
It is. I checked. It's okay. .com. Yep. Purpleair.com.
.com. Okay. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you, Lisa.
Wonderful. I just want to give people the source if they can find it. Moving right along then. This is to another topic, which will explain why we want to go as quickly as we can to tonight, because I know there is another event that some people want to get to. And for those who have better things to do, I encourage you all to do whatever helps your mental health tonight. But in roughly 45-ish minutes or so, there is a debate that some of our listeners would like to get to. And on that same topic, there was an interesting post within our LHON Facebook group this month about voting and about a partnership between the Be My Eyes app and vote.org. So for any of you out there who live in states where voter registration is still open, which I think is most states, here in the US, and if any of you like to register to vote, I encourage you to do so. But you can use the Be My Eyes app, and they will help you either get your registration done or answer questions regarding voting in your state, all of those types of things. I think it's a really great resource. So voting is important, and just wanted to highlight that partnership for those of you who may I'm having to let some new folks in our call. So anything you want to add there, Jessica?
No, that's fantastic. Please vote.
Yeah. So this one I'm going to give to you. Someone had a question in the group this month about Apple Pay and about how to use it, and how it may be better or a more useful way of paying if you're blind.
Yeah. So thanks. I'll kick this off. So Apple Pay, I kind of want to spin it a couple ways and bring up a couple things that I think are really important. So we'll kind of start from the basics, kind of from the beginning. Couple of calls ago, we were talking about an app, Seeing AI. Right when I lost vision, there was many apps that were money readers, and since then they've all kind of disappeared with different iterations and releases through Apple. But Seeing AI is still there and is actually able to be a money reader for you as well. So I always am a money reader because I don't often have cash with me. It's not really a common thing for me to have. However, when I do have it, I really kind of make it a habit. So if I'm going to a store and I'm paying for something and I have a $20 bill and it costs $4, whatever change they give me, I literally just wrap it up and just kind of like roll it up and I put it in my wallet. So when I get home, I kind of lay out what I have, use my money reader, and every kind of bill has a different folding method. So, I always fold my 20s differently than my 10s and my 5s. And I just have kind of, and it really doesn't matter like what your system is, as long as it's your system and you know what's what. So I think that's really important to kind of bring up and kind of talking about money. But oftentimes why I don't have cash around is just because Apple Pay is so much easier. Of course, I know that now at this point, there are a ton of places that have Apple Pay. And Samsung Pay and Garmin Pay and different things like that. But I specifically use Apple Pay, obviously being an iPhone user. And it's so easy. I was just at Target right before this call. And it's easy. You know, you have your phone in your hand because you're either talking on your phone or using it for directions. Or it's our lifeline. So to be able to use that and just kind of tap and go with this, I always use face recognition and just as a safety precaution, just in case, I don't know, I lose my phone, knock on wood. But allowing it to kind of use the PIN pad and so you can kind of enter your passcode, it's been extremely helpful for me, especially because I walk everywhere still. So walking to the grocery store, walking to Target, just to kind of have that flexibility and not having to pull out my wallet and just get distracted, I think it's really important. As a female blind person, and I mean for anybody, male blind person, to be walking around, to be very alert of kind of what's around us. Even at the grocery store, I'm on my A game and kind of looking to see what's around me and just knowing my surroundings. And Apple Pay actually kind of keeps that easy because I'm not having to dig through my purse or my wallet and find the right credit card and bring it closer to my face and kind of or whatever method you have. Apple Pay is just kind of a quick zap. So I use it a ton. I find it very accessible. I use it to the point that I get alerts every single time my credit card is ran. I get alerts every single time I get a summary, so I kind of know what's happening with it. It really keeps me on top of what's happening with my credit card, especially, I mean, identity theft is a real thing. So I am 100% pro. So it's super easy to set up as well. Setting it up is through your settings, and it's going to be part of your initial setup, but you're going to be able to go, there's actually just kind of a section for Apple Pay. So highly recommend even using your wallet for, I mean, gosh, we're not going anywhere for like tickets and things like that, but I use my wallet for like my Southwest plane ticket. I use my wallet for like bus passes and things like that when we were riding public transportation. So it's really helpful to kind of have it all right there and flipping on VoiceOver and having that ability to keep that accessibility for technology. It's like a win-win. So that's my, like, that's my spiel on it. Cause I'm so pro Apple Pay. Do you use it, Andy? Did we lose him? Did he get that board? Oh gosh. It's not good. All right. Well,
can you hear me
now? I'm gonna ping Andy. Oh, we can hear you. Okay, perfect.
Can you hear me now?
Did you?
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Wonderful.
Did you fall asleep? What, were you bored?
Good. No, I was not bored. My AirPods mess up from time to time, but
okay.
I'm here. So, have I ever used Apple Pay? Yes. Do I use it frequently? No. I am a big fan of. Why not? I don't know. I think probably some of it is just not changing and being okay with new credit card reading machines that don't require me to do much pressing of anything other than inserting a card, which I appreciate. I also, like, one thing I did quickly, I don't think I've ever shared here before at all. One thing I did quickly when I lost my vision, and I would almost recommend this to anyone. I have my credit card set so it alerts me whenever it's being used at all. I know you can have, like, text messages sent to you if you spend over $100 or something, or if your credit card's used over certain limits, but I have my limit set at $0.00. So whenever my credit card's used for anything, I know how much it's used for, which is nice in the sense that even if I'm out at a restaurant and I give my credit card in with Billfold and then they bring it back to me, I got a text message saying how much it was. So now deciding my tip is much easier and things like that just become way easier to do. And I like just having that record electronically where it can be read to me, which I know is one of the big benefits of Apple Pay as well. Whenever you use it, you know exactly how much you're charged immediately. It comes to your phone and all of those things. I do use Apple Pay when I buy things online sometimes just because that's more convenient than some of the others. But to your point, there's Amazon Pay and all those other things out there, PayPal, whatever it may be, that's easier than having to type in your credit card every time as well. So lots of fun ways to pay for things. They want to make that easy for you, believe it or not. So
that's,
yeah,
true.
I mean, I'm a constant Venmo user and those kinds of things as well. Just avoiding cash in our lives is easier as a blind person. And so I try and do that where possible. the last kind of tech related topic here is about TeamViewer. I think this was posted by Lissa on the Facebook page today. Some of you may have used TeamViewer when you called into IT companies or when you were talking to Zoom Text or JAWS or AI Squared tech support, and they asked if they could take control of your machine to be able to show you how to do something or to be able to change some setting for you. Or you may have used something similar to TeamViewer. What TeamViewer allows you to do is to give control or sight of what's showing up on your machine, your computer in this case, to someone else. So you have the ability to download TeamViewer for free, I believe, and you could have a friend or family member of yours in a different state across the globe download TeamViewer and basically give them access to your computer if and when you want to. You have control over when they can see and those kinds of things. It's not just giving them constant access to your machine. But this would help you out if you are having trouble with your computer and want someone to help you and you're having a hard time telling them what is showing up on your screen. This is great, obviously, for blind people like us, but it's, I mean, I've seen people use similar things for grandparents of theirs who they want to help show them how to use their email or show them how to do any number of things. This type of technology can be really useful. Anything you want to add there, Jessica?
No, I think it's fantastic. There's so many, I mean, obviously so many different applications to be able to kind of share, but can you imagine, like, oh gosh, when I first lost vision, I was really trying to learn so much assistive technology and you're going through a job application and a lot of those job applications are not super accessible and shame on them. However, there's a lot of forms and a lot of different, gosh, going to school and trying to fill out forms or FAFSA, so many different things that it'd be so nice to kind of have a second set of eyes. Like, and maybe that person doesn't live with you, but to be able to ask someone like, hey, is there any way that you can help me out versus trekking through it or having to wait to be able to have a friend or just not being able to complete it because it's inaccessible, that I think I could have used this years ago, especially applying for jobs. That's huge.
Yeah, no, I think it's super useful, especially, I mean, to your point, we're talking about applying to jobs, these kinds of things where attention to detail is very important, or at least seen as very important, and giving someone the ability to make sure things look a certain way, at least be able to check on their end. Even if you can't send them that PDF to look at it on their machine, giving them the ability to look at it on your machine can be really useful there. so that's a great point. Our last topic, I'd say what I think is one of the best things shared on the Facebook group this month for last, there was a post, and I'm going to avoid names here and just for to have things be anonymous if they'd like it to be anonymous. Although in their post, they shared names. But a mother posted this month about something her daughter did, which I thought was the sweetest thing that I've seen in our group in a long time. And we could all use stories like these. This 4-year-old daughter at school was asked to paint or draw something in an art class. And she shared with the teacher that her dad can't see, and she wanted to create a piece of art that he could experience and value as well. So there was actually a picture that mother posted in our Facebook group this month that the daughter created, which included buttons and bottle caps and all of these things attached to this piece of art. So it A, looked beautiful for everyone to witness, but also it was something that her father could feel and experience and share with his daughter as well, which I thought was just the most heartwarming thing I ever have seen. And it reminds me of all the times that I have had family members of mine who are younger, who really get it. And I am constantly reminded of these couple times and how powerful it is for the next generation to have experiences with people like us, and they become better people as a result. This girl is obviously already so far ahead of her peers and adults in this world in terms of accepting, honoring, and respecting the vision that her dad has and who he is as a person. I mean, it reminds me, I have cousins who have children who are now 5 and 6 and 10 and who have had experiences with me enough to really value me as a person and recognize things that they can help me with, even though they're younger and even though they're not used to being able to help adults. But I think recognizing that ability to help people is really powerful and just warms my heart and makes me feel really good at a time where we all could stand to feel really good.
Totally agree. Absolutely well said.
Anything?
Yeah.
I got long-winded there for a second.
Thank you.
Well, with that, this call has been a little less conventional in terms of the order of me saying things, but I do want to, before we open up this call shortly, for folks to ask questions, share comments about anything we've talked about. I'm going to, in a minute, remind everyone about the topics we discussed, but also let everyone know whether you're here for the first time or you're here for your 27th call or 50-something call at this point. We do these each month. The first Wednesday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's always the same phone number. The only change these days is that there's a waiting room and I have to let you in. If you get here close to on time, I get you involved very quickly. If you're a little later, it takes me a second going back and forth between topics. So please bear with me and new process for us, but I really appreciate all of you being here and being a part of this community. It's really powerful, especially this year when we could all use community a little more. So thank you all for being here. Before I remind you of the topics and open up the call, two more things to share. That next month's call is going to be the first Wednesday of November. That's November 4th. I'm not going to say anything about anything happening that week. But that's November 4th, the first Wednesday of November. And then we will look forward to having you all here. But before I open up the call, things we talked about tonight included wildfires, Apple Pay. We talked about voting and the partnership with Be My Eyes and vote.org. We talked about TeamViewer, which is this, well, we talked about TeamViewer. And then we talked about the coolest art project I've ever heard of. With that, I'm going to unmute, or rather request that you all unmute on my end. And if you would like to unmute, you're welcome to do so. But this call is now open to everyone. And if you have questions, ask those now. But just a reminder, the call is still being recorded for now. I will open it up in a little bit after several people have had a chance to ask their questions, and I will turn the recording off. So if you have questions that you don't want on the recording, you can hold those just momentarily. The floor is yours. Star 6 to unmute, or you can maybe press the unmute button that I sent to you all. Seems like many of you have unmuted already, so thank you all. If you know you're in a loud area, though, you can obviously stay muted, and we would appreciate it if you did.
Hi, this is Karen. Can I ask a question? Can you hear me?
Of course. We can hear you, Karen. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with my husband, Brad, and he was diagnosed just last Tuesday with Leber. So, maybe. Well, we're getting genetically tested, but yeah, he lost his vision a few weeks ago. We had like 6 questions. I don't want to overwhelm everybody, but he gets a lot of like crazy worm movements, and it just constantly, it's just exhausting him. And the low vision specialist said that, you know, his brain is trying to redirect the signals, and that should slow down over time. What have you experienced?
What was the word you said? Crazy something movements? You said world movements?
Yeah,
can you describe what you're talking about there? I'm sorry.
It's like lines and everything's moving. It's constantly moving.
It's like if you look at the trees, the leaves look like they're 3 feet wide. And they're always moving, like the wind's blowing 60 miles an hour. But yet, there's no wind at all.
Do you guys get that too?
Yeah.
Brad, I've definitely heard of patients that have had that. I'm sorry, go ahead, Melissa.
No, go ahead. I was going to say the same thing. There's a name for it, if that's a starting point. It's called Charles-Binet syndrome. And that's like that's the general word for what you're describing. And from what I've heard, and obviously the people on the call can certainly articulate their own experiences, but yeah, the general articulation is like that doctor told you, it's the signal. Your brain is trying to make sense of whatever signals it's getting from your eyes, and it's just not getting the perfect signals. And so it puts it together in weird ways. And from what I've heard, it, you know, for some people, it changes over time. For some people, it eventually goes away. For some people, it continues over time. There's just a range of responses, which different people can speak to. But the starting point is it has a name, and it's called Charles-Binet syndrome, and it's not unusual.
I look at...
Would you like to spell that, Lissa?
Charles, like the guy's first name, and B-O-N-N-E-T, like Charles-Binet's last name, and then syndrome, like a syndrome, so CBS, Charles-Binet syndrome. Sorry, go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, what I see is basically... it happened over about a three-week period. And then if I'm in the passenger seat of a car and my wife's driving, I look at the taillights of a car directly and they go gray. And then if I look up towards the ceiling of my car or my peripheral, I can see the lights. And then if I look back down again, they disappear.
Yeah. I don't think that's unusual or abnormal. Howard, go ahead.
I'd make a comment that I used to see giant buildings on the side of the road that weren't there. And although this may sound a little odd, if you can try to enjoy it. It'll probably go away.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you. That's the worst of it. It's just, it's so tiring seeing this
it's very distorting because I can look at a bottle of aspirin on a granite countertop. And if I stare it long enough, it becomes the granite countertop. But if I blink my eyes, it's bad.
Some people take drugs to get that effect. I mean, I'd seriously try to enjoy it because it's temporary, and as long as you know what it is, then it shouldn't bother you as much.
When you if say you're temporary, an artist, how long do you think?
Sorry?
But if you're an artist, you should paint them and be a Van Gogh of the 2020 era.
Yes.
Yeah.
But how long before you slowed down for you guys? Did you have that experience too?
It varies for everybody, for each person. The first couple of months can be the most, you know, kind of significant. Of course, you're also just getting used to it. So you'll get used to it, and it'll change. It'll evolve probably. But the duration, you know, can vary because, and it can also depend on, you know, eye strain and what you're doing and or not doing and how much rest you're getting and things like there's a lot of variability to this Charles Bonnet syndrome.
I worked at a large casino, and I would see during the day as I'm dealing poker, like monsters coming out of the garbage cans onto the ceilings, and they were playing gin rummy.
Cool.
Some weird, but it was pretty cool. It made my day go faster.
I mean, for me, it's like I can look at a TV set three inches away and I can see all the definitions. Highlight, mid-tones, shadows. I can see the nose, I can see the eyes blinking, etc. But if I stand four or five feet back, then everything just turns into like a flesh tone and I can't see.
Yeah. What do you guys use to watch TV? That's our biggest thing. He loves his TV.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing these questions. I'm now seeing the chat where you wrote many of these questions there, so I'm sorry we hadn't seen them. But for TV, so the question is, how do we watch TV? I think I'll try and summarize the ways that I've heard, but please, everyone, feel free to chime in. Many of us sit very close to a TV using the peripheral vision we still have to be able to take in what we can from that TV very, very close. I know others who may use something like an iPad, or any type of technology, whether it's, I'm gonna rattle off a few things here, but something like Iris Vision or OrCam or something there that may allow you to witness what's on the screen or zoom in from very far away. So some people use an iPad and bring up the camera and point it at the TV from far away and zoom in and just hold the iPad close to their face. Others rely on, without using their vision at all, rely on audio description or video description on their TV. So if you're using something like Netflix or Disney Plus or Hulu, many of these services now, audio description that you're able to turn on for many of these things, even live TV offers that in some cases. I will say it's more rare than it is for some of your other streaming video services, but you have those things where they'll actually describe the action on the TV in conjunction with the audio, which allows you to still value the TV. So yes, Brad, you're not the only one who still appreciates TV. I still waste a lot of my time in front of a TV. So that's not something you have to give up by any means.
Can I just say real Anyone quick? Else? My brother has he's had it for 25 years. He bought an 84-inch TV. Bigger is not always better. He can actually see better on like a 48-inch. So don't always think that you're going to buy a bigger TV. It's going to be a better TV. It's all about the kind and what your mutation is and all that kind of stuff. So don't go out and buy a TV that fits your whole wall.
Yeah, I think going into a store and actually using or experiencing some of those TVs, some of them obviously get so big that if you're at one point, you can't even see but 10% of the TV. And sometimes you want it in that sweet spot where it's large enough where you can see some, but not so large that you're having to run back and forth to see the left and right side of the screen.
But But do you experience the definition part of it? Like, if you look at the face and it looks like it's just flesh tones, you don't see the nose, you don't see the eyes, you can't see the blinking of their eyes and the mouth moving. Is that normal?
Yes.
I think what you're describing is very normal, yes.
It also depends on where you're at, I think.
Can I ask one last question, then I'll stop? Is anyone taking, what are your results with Idebenone? Because we've been taking that in vitamin C. Yeah.
I am. Mine's stabilized. I've only been blind a year and a half. I'm Chad. And I have the same mutation as my brother. He's had the same level of blindness for 25 years. And Idebenone, I've actually been recommended glasses, but a lot of it has to do with, you know, like all of us, the light and the shade and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just maintained it. I'm not sure if it's made it better, but it's definitely worth trying for not everybody.
You guys see, like, for me, when I wake up in the morning, everything's so bright. So bright. It's incredibly bright.
I think some of that experience is going to, yeah, I think that's going to differ for some people, but what you're describing is certainly something I've heard as well. That's not just you, and I certainly would love to kind of connect you with someone to chat more with. I'm looking at the rest of your questions here. One of them is, and I appreciate you, Karen, for typing those questions, and I'm going to try and give you quick answers to a couple of these, but please don't feel like you need to be silent or anything like that. These calls are for connecting this group and giving you a group to be able to ask these questions of. So these questions are exactly why we have these calls, and I appreciate you raising them. I see that one of your questions here is anybody driving? I don't think anyone on this call who is affected by LHON drives. I'll leave that at that for now. Your last question here, if there's someone we can connect you with, to allow you to have conversations and mentor with in the future, of course, we can certainly make those connections. I don't know who you've been in touch with in this group so far, but we can, if we have your contact information, we can make sure to connect with different folks to connect with and be able to make it through this process together. This is something we all have benefited from being a part of this group, and certainly hope that both of you are able to do the same. And I'm glad you found this group.
It's very scary. It's very, very scary and sudden.
What do people experience? Like for me, when I see, if I look at a wall, I see black squiggly lines. Just squiggly lines all over the place. So if I write it on a piece of paper, number two, and I know I'm ready to, because the pen's the paper, and then I write three, but I look back at two, it's all white. And then I write three, and I write four, and, you know, it's all white. So my central vision with these squiggly lines, little black lines that I can look at any wall, any surface, anything, completely disappear. And then the other thing is, like, if I take a bottle of, like, vitamins, put it on a countertop with granite, if I stare at it long enough, all I see is a granite background.
That's our vision.
It goes away.
Yeah, I think that's very similar, because what you're experiencing there, and I describe this to people all the time, is the fact that you have a blind spot in the middle of your vision. And I am constantly drawing the comparison to, the fact is everyone has blind spots in their vision. Everyone has small blind spots roughly at 10 and 2 o'clock in their vision. Your wife, Karen, has those same blind spots, and your brain is constantly filling those in with what makes the most sense. That our vision isn't telling us what's out there. It's telling us what our eyes are taking in and filling in the rest. And in most cases, that's making very small assumptions. In your case, it's making a huge assumption. And I constantly describe my vision to people and tell people, hey, if I'm sitting in a room where I have a wall on my left that is a solid off-white colored wall, and you, me, and your wife, Karen, were to look at it, we're all gonna see that same off-white wall, because the middle of it that I'm not able to perceive or really take in it's going to fill it in with what makes the most sense, which is more of that wall. But if we both turned to the wall to my right and saw an off-white wall with a giant window in the middle, I'm going to see exactly what I saw at that first wall, which is more off-white wall. And yet others, our sighted friends and family, are going to see that window. And yet, in the case of your granite countertop, that bottle turns into the countertop in the same way that if you're at an intersection and cars are driving left to right, they disappear for a second before reappearing on the other side. This is something that is very unique and weird about our vision, but very similar across lots of us. And I think it's, I see that you're seeing, the other thing I want to say, and I think, yeah, you saw it. Okay. I wanted to make sure that you saw the comments that Lissa had for you in the chat, but it seems like you saw those, Karen. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very strange because that perception is gone.
Okay, let someone else talk on.
Where do you guys live?
We live by Pittsburgh, in between Erie and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Karen, what is your husband's name again? I forgot. And how old is he?
Brad, and he's 57.
This is Wayne, by the way.
Wayne Daniels.
Hi, Wayne.
That's correct. Hi, Wayne. Thank you, Ms. McGregor.
It also came on the week before Labor Day. I was struggling, and I was using loops and different magnifiers. The week before, I was fine. And then the week after Labor Day, Tuesday, I went back to work. Got about halfway through the day, and I told my wife to come pick me up. But I realized I couldn't drive anymore. It's just not possible. Because I couldn't judge cars going by me or in front of me. And I stopped driving.
Thanks.
Period.
Yep. Sounds like me.
Yes.
Okay. Has anybody tried any special treatments other than Idebenone? Is there anything else out there? Just curious if anyone's tried any, like, you know, clinical trials or.
There's probably people on the call, and there's definitely people in the community that have had the opportunity to participate in several clinical trials. Several have taken place over the last 2 years, but right now there aren't any that are recruiting, so there aren't any options open right now.
Yeah, I saw that the vadiquinone, it looks like it's very promising, and I wish we could try that.
Well, this is Jennifer. I'm in one right now, but unfortunately with COVID, my next appointment was supposed to be in March, and I haven't had one yet. So I think everything's just being kind of pushed back, which is really unfortunate for us, but hopefully they'll get it back up and running again.
Oh my gosh. Are you trying the vadiquinone? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm in, it's at Will's in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So I can't remember exactly what the name of it is. That's terrible. But
Is it an injection?
It was an injection. Lissa probably knows more about it.
Is it the vitamin E?
Lissa, do you know the name of it? I can't think of it right now.
Well, there's a company called GenSight, and they've done some gene therapy trials, which is probably what's being discussed. But again, they're not recruiting patients right now.
Right, unfortunately. Yeah, everything's been pushed back. And even, you know, they even tried to get me in again this month, and it got pushed back again because they got greater restrictions in Philly. So see what happens.
Yeah. No, Will's is wonderful.
But thanks for all your questions, Karen. These are all, and obviously don't want this to be the end of your opportunity to ask any of those questions, and I'm glad we have you in touch with folks.
I really appreciate that.
Do you have any family members that are already affected?
Oh, what was your question? I'm sorry.
Does he have any other family members that are affected?
No. The weird thing is his mother lost her vision. This was like 20 years ago for 18 years ago for like 6 months in one eye, but she never got tested. I don't even think they had genetic testing back then. So it's almost like, I don't know, maybe it'll come back because the doctor said, you know, we really don't know, you know, but it's, I don't know.
I'm 57. So I was 18. They call it stress related.
I'm 55 and I went blind last year. So it does, everything you've described is sounds very familiar to me. And you know, the things disappearing, I just always look up or look down and to try to get into focus.
The word for that is eccentric viewing for those who are interested. Yeah.
Do you see the squiggly lines when you look at a wall or?
I do.
Any surface?
Yep.
You do?
I do. Yep. I've touched the wall several times. Like, is that really there? But no, it's just my eyes.
Who is this?
My name's Kimberly from Phoenix.
Oh, hi, Kimberly.
Hi.
You know, it's so good for him to hear that someone else is seeing what he's seeing because that drives him crazy. This is so good to be able to talk to somebody else that can relate because he hasn't talked to one person that can relate to what, empathize, not just sympathize, but empathize.
Oh, yeah.
I see squiggly lines all over the wall. Doesn't matter what color I'm looking at. Light.
Yeah.
And they're always moving and shifting and moving and shifting and changing shape.
What has your journey been like over the last year?
So I was working and I worked from home. I stopped driving after about a month of being affected. I continued to work as much as I could and then went on, you know, disability. I'm in school right now. I'm learning voiceover, JAWS, independent living, so using my cane. But everybody has a different journey. This is my journey. I'm learning Braille. Some people's vision, you know, they can see a lot of things. Some people can't. So, are you still working then, or what's that like?
Yeah, I'm still working, but I it's not like I can't walk around the house. I don't bump into things and fall over things. I can see things. Everything looks very bright. Everything looks very bright to me.
Mm-hmm. Good.
When I wake up in the morning. I can see to eat and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened over about a three week period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for the DNA test to make sure, see if that's exactly what it is. Some people may have said it might be MS. I don't know. I'm being tested for that, for the spinal tap. But I have lost, you know, definition. Things that are blurry, I can walk down the street and I'm not going to get lost. But that's about all I can say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you're describing is very typical. And I know that's only so much of a relief, but a lot of us know what you're going through and don't have the right things to say, but if there's anything we can do, please. And if you have other questions, we're happy to answer them for you.
What are you using for to help with your vision? Are you since you said you've had it for a year, the worms and all that moving stuff, when has it slowed down for you?
I only see the squiggly lines when I'm looking at solid stuff. So if I just look at, if I move my eyes, then I don't always see the squiggly things, I guess.
Yeah. It's like I was saying before, if I put a bottle of aspirin on a granite countertop, and I stare it long enough, it turns into the granite countertop and the bottle disappears. Then I blink my eyes and it comes back. Or, like I've said before, if I'm in the driver's seat of the car, I stare at it. And I see, if I look directly at the car, I see no lights, but if I look up towards the ceiling of my car, I can see the taillights.
Yep, yep. That's all very, very similar to most of us. Yeah. I would encourage you guys, what I did when I first went blind is I went on to LHON.org and I watched all of the videos that were recorded. I watched them over and over and over again just to know that I'm okay and there are other people that are like me and you know they're successful. It's cool to have that community.
How would you adapt to like computers and?
I'm learning JAWS. I'm learning it's VoiceOver JAWS. I have an Apple phone that does VoiceOver, and there's Zoom Text or even you can do your Windows key and plus or minus to enlarge your screen.
Right.
Yeah, there are tons of tech resources out there, and it may be best for us to kind of offline some of that with Karen, you and Brad to give you basically just a download on what all of this is, whether it's listening to LHON live calls, which is probably the least efficient way to take some of this information in, or to learn things. There are lots of resources online, the same way you found about these trials. There are resources to find out there from Hadley School on how to use VoiceOver on any Apple product. But there are also things like Zoom Text and JAWS and just the native Windows Zoom that can be used depending on what your vision is like and how to use that. But we can certainly provide a lot of that to you after this call as well.
And I think our document that we made might be helpful as well.
Let me ask you one more question.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Go for it.
Do you feel any tingling in your fingers and numbness in your feet?
Me? Every once in a while, I get a little tingling, but it's not constant.
But I would say that you may or may not have heard or read about something called LHON Plus. And a lot of people do report peripheral neuropathy, and there's sort of a lack of clarity about whether that is or is not associated with an LHON mutation, but that could be connected. And there is a person in the group who's not on this call, and she's associated with a doctor who's doing some research in the DC area, talking to families who have these kinds of symptoms. So maybe I can connect you with her also just to see.
Yeah, my sister is going to that same doctor too.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that I've experienced is like some numbness in my feet and my tingling in my hands and even the ability to write before the vision loss, I found my hands were very shaky and, inappropriate to write letters. Weird.
Sure, yeah.
When you talk to your doctor, you want to use the phrase LHON plus and just see if that means anything to them. And if not, we need to connect you with some doctors. Actually, there are some folks in the Pittsburgh area who might be good, actually. So, yeah, we can communicate about that separately.
Yeah,
I know.
I've had like 70 blood tests. They've all come back positive. I've had two MRIs in my brain, all come back positive. I had a CAT scan on my eyes. I went to
positive or
all
negative?
All positive. I went to retina specialist, said my retina's perfect. My optic nerves, both eyes are equal, but they're slightly reduced. They found nothing wrong with me.
You're saying all the tests came back good?
Yeah.
Yeah. All of it.
Got it. Yep. Okay.
It's okay. Kind of strange.
Well, yeah, we can certainly connect you. Yeah, we can certainly connect you with others to kind of understand some of this, because as you've learned, because of how rare some of these things are, it causes a longer time to find the correct diagnosis for many doctors, and sometimes being passed around. But hopefully by arming you with some of what we know, we can help you reach that sooner. So happy to do that. And I think the best way to do that is to reach out to the email that Lissa gave Karen. So I think we can hopefully help there.
Yeah, the other thing too is
before long, I do want to turn the record.
The other thing too is I had a heart attack back in 2010, and I've had some arrhythmia problems with my heart. So looking into that as well. And, you know, basically other than the optic nerve being slightly smaller than it should be, they have not found anything wrong with me with all these blood tests and CAT scans and MRIs and ultrasounds of my neck and my heart, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You keep coming back with nothing.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately, that's all too common.
I even had a spinal tap done. They're doing analysis on that right now as we speak.
Eliminate
all the check boxes, you know what I mean?
No, I hear you, and I appreciate them doing their due diligence. But to your point, it's regretful how long it takes sometimes. But I think the best thing to do is to kind of continue this conversation with others afterwards. Go ahead.
It's Wayne again, but it's not funny, but funny hearing. You know, I've been affected 41 years back in 1979, and to hear in 2020, he's going through the same thing, you know, because I had spinal tap. They thought it was MS. They thought it was in my head. And this is before the blood test. But it just depends on the doctor you run across and how fast it takes to find out what the problem is.
Interesting. Thank you.
Sure. You're very welcome. Before long, I do want to be able to turn the recording off in case anyone had questions they didn't want recorded here as well. But any other questions or comments people had about anything we've been talking about or about anything we talked about earlier that people wanted to make sure were on the recording?
Hey, Andy, it's Patrick Doodle. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yes, Patrick.
One quick comment. So on the wildfire topic you mentioned earlier, in the California regional group, we're going to be having that as our main point of discussion, our next call, which I don't have my calendar in front of me, but it's next month. So hopefully people who are in California can tune into that, because that's what we're going to be discussing on the California call.
No, great. That's awesome. I think it's a topic that needs to be discussed. So thanks for plugging that.
This is Lisa from Canada.
Sorry, Lisa, I want to get to your question, but Patrick, just so people have the correct information, for anyone that is in California but doesn't have details about that call, where can they find those? I just wanted to ask that.
So there's an LSU in California regional group, which I think if people ask to be invited, they'll be invited, they'll be accepted. And Maria has recently posted information about, you know, people have various questions that they have about smoke and its effects. Our plan is basically to pose a few questions to an LHON specialist about wildfire issues, basically. So in terms of things like what AQI level is too high to be going outside, what AQI level is too high to be even in the area. So we'll try and get those kinds of answers to talk about them. But if you go to the LHON California group, which is different than the international group, you can see the information about what we'll be talking about.
That's awesome. So if anyone up there is lives in California and does not think they're already in that group, just search on Facebook, LHON California, and you should be able to find that group pretty easily. Sorry, Lisa.
Yeah, that's a question. Right.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to make a comment on one of your topics. I saw that posting in regards to the mom posting what the daughter had drawn in her art class. And honestly, when I was looking at it, I had tears in my eyes because I thought it was just absolutely amazing. So if anybody hasn't seen it on the Facebook group, you have to go and look at it. To do something at 4 years old and think of her father, like Andy said, she's way beyond herself in years, and it was very touching and thoughtful, and yeah, it was just certainly helped in the moment of what we're going through. So I just wanted to make a comment on how wonderful that was and what a great thing that that mom posted to share with everyone.
Yeah, the message I take away from that, and I know I already spoke a lot on this, but the message I continue to take away from stories like that one is just how powerful it is to be your whole honest self. I'm not telling everyone they need to use the word blind or they need to come out as blind immediately. Obviously, that is something you need to accept within yourself before you can be really public and talk to people about it. But by doing that and opening that up and not hiding that part of yourself, you have the ability to make people around you that care about you better people as a result. And that's what that father has done for his daughter, a gift he's given her by being his honest self with his disability. And I think that's really powerful and says a lot. And so that's motivation for me to continue to do that in my own life with people that I'm around and that I love so they can be better and carry that torch on to other relationships they have. Thanks for sharing, Lisa.
No problem.
Any other comments? In a minute, I will turn the recording off.
What time does the debate start?
The debate started 9 minutes ago.
Okay.
Just no worries, but this is very, very important. He's probably unmuting, so you may want to go ahead and ask it. I'm not sure.
Okay. No,
what's
thank
that?
You. The wildfires topic is super important for, I think, anybody who carries the gene. You know, are you doing a one pager, or are you recording that session at all with, you know, the topics that you're talking about with the specialist?
You know, I don't know if we're doing a recording actually. So we may be doing a one pager in terms of answers from a specialist if we can get our act together. But otherwise, I would just encourage you to try and chime in. I think what we could try and do is like put the information that we learn or discuss on the Facebook group in the comments. But I'm not sure if it's been sorted out yet in terms of whether we're going to be putting together like a flyer on it.
Okay, and will you open that up to people that are not in California currently?
I think part of what we were talking about doing was to like use California as an opportunity to sort of rough it out, sketch it out, see what people wanted to learn and get our act together. And then maybe take that learning and sort of repeat the conversation in other places where it's problematic, like the Pacific Northwest is having some serious issues. Colorado's had issues. So I think we wanted to sort of do a California put it as our topic in the California development community and then sort of grow it from there. So the information will get captured and shared. We just haven't fully identified how.
Whether a one pager is created or not, for those who attend that call, I'd encourage you to maybe make it to this call next month. And I'd love to give you 5 minutes to kind of share what you learned, or 20 minutes, whatever you want.
It's a great idea.
Cool, guys. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll give you 45 seconds to speak up here, but then I will turn the recording off because I know sometimes we have some questions after that as well. All right. I will turn the recording off then. Reminder as I do this, because this is what I like to be the last thing I say. Thank you all for being here, whether you're here your first time or 50th time. Thank you. And the next call will be November 4th. With that, I'm going to turn the recording off.